chapter number 3 in verse number 20. It's a familiar portion of scripture tonight to some of us. It said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above, exceeding abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." You got anything working in you tonight? If you don't have something working in you, I hope it's working before this service is over. Amen. When you get in the presence of the Lord, there ought to be something working in you. There ought to be something moving in you. There ought to be something stirring in you. Hallelujah. Amen. That's how he gets things done, because of what's working in you. Amen. Hallelujah. There's something working here tonight. I can feel it. Glory. Amen. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. But it's exceeding. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. May be seated. This word exceeding, actually in its original meaning, it means to throw or to go beyond the mark. So in other words, it's to set a new record. Amen. When I was young, I used to throw the shot put. Anybody know what a shot put is? You know, that's a metal ball. And you get that metal ball and you get all ready on the track and you run up to the line and you heave that thing as far as you can throw it. And the goal is to throw it beyond the mark. No matter how far the guy before you threw it, you're going to throw it further than he threw it. Amen. I used to throw the discus. And when I did, you watch out, because where it goes, nobody knows. When you throw the discus, you know, you go around in a circle and you get some centrifugal force and you let fly with that disc and you throw it just as far as you can. And the goal is to get it further than anybody has ever thrown it before. That's the goal. That's what you're trying to do. That's what the word exceeding means. It means to go beyond. Hallelujah. And I want you to know tonight, we've got a God that goes beyond. Hallelujah. We've got a God that exceeds anything that you've ever known, anything anybody's ever told you. He's better than that. Amen. Anything that you know about him tonight, he's better than that. We've sang some songs, but he's better than the songs we sing. We preach some sermons, but he's better than the sermons that we preach. We've given some testimonies, but he's better than the testimony. Amen. There's not a word that can describe him. Amen. There's not a vocabulary on the face of the earth that can contain him, because he exceeds everything that we know. And we have these words that they come in and out of the vernacular at various times. You know, there's every young person has their own special words, and it changes. So when you're old, don't try to be cool, because it's changed. There was a time it was cool, and then it was bad. The thing was bad, and then it was rad. Amen. And then it was epic. Now I have no idea what it is now. Amen. But it's always some word that extravagant. It's a superlative. And that's what exceeding is in Bible times. When they didn't know what else to say, they said exceeding. Amen. If they wanted a word that would put it out there, they would say exceeding. So we find that word. The first time it's in the Bible is in the book of Genesis, when the Lord appears to Abraham. Abraham's going through a tough time. God made him a promise, but it's been a long time. He's been in the land now for a long time, and the promise hadn't passed yet. And so the Lord appears to him in chapter 15, verse 1. And the Lord said, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. First of all, the Lord said, I want you to know that I'm your protector. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to keep you everywhere you go. Whatever comes against you, I'll be there. Whatever enemy rises, I'll be there. Whatever difficulty comes, I'll be there. Amen. If the flood comes, I'll be the bridge. Whatever you need, I'm your protector. I'm your shield. I'm going to be there for you. And then he said, I not only that, but I'm your exceeding great. Not just great, he said, but exceeding great. Amen. But beyond everything you can imagine, beyond the mark, great. Hallelujah. He said, I'm beyond the mark, great reward. Yeah. The word reward here is talking about compensation. Uh-huh. It's talking about wages. It's talking about payday. I want you to know something. God's your payday. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Amen. I heard a song one time said, serving God is going to pay off one of these days. Hallelujah. If you'll just keep serving God, I'm telling you, it's going to exceed all of your expectation. The songwriter said, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So let us run this race till we see Christ. When you see him, every question that's been in your mind is going to be turned into an exclamation point of praise. And it's not going to matter anymore. Hallelujah. Praise God, because he exceeds all of that. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Grissom, I've given up a lot to serve the Lord. I want you to know he's your exceeding great reward. And I told you about my little friend that I met several years ago. She didn't know what she gave up. All she knew was whenever her family said to her, if you continue to serve Jesus Christ, the inheritance that was supposed to come to you from your parents, it's not going to come to you. You're going to have to give it up if you're going to stay in the Pentecostal way. She said, it means more to me than anything. It doesn't matter how much my inheritance is going to be. I'll give it up to serve Jesus Christ. They said, you're giving up $7 million. And that was back in the 50s. When $7 million was actually a little bit of money. Yeah. Amen. She said, doesn't mean anything. I'm still going to serve Jesus. If you don't give me the inheritance, I'm going to serve him anyhow. Amen. A couple of years ago, she went on to be with the Lord. And I'm telling you tonight, wherever she is, that $7 million was nothing. It's not even a drop in the bucket to the place that she has arrived. Amen. On streets of gold, in a place made by God's own hand. Her God is the light of the city. Amen. He is our exceeding great reward tonight. Don't you think about giving up tonight. Don't you think about turning around tonight. Don't you think about throwing in the towel tonight. Because he is your exceeding great reward. Amen. Hear me. What is there to go back to? If you'll think just a moment, that's the reason you wanted out of it. Because it brought you no joy. There was trouble there. Oh, there's trouble in my life. There was trouble before you came to God. Amen. I'm having some problems. You had problems before you came to God. Amen. I've got enemies. You had enemies before you came to God. But when you came to him, he gave you peace, and he gave you joy, and he gave you righteousness, and he gave you love, and he covered you with your blood, and he washed away your shame and your guilt and your stains. He is your exceeding great reward. You don't want to leave him. I promise you, it's not any better today than it was when you left. Sin is still sin. It's still ugly. It's still deceptive. It's still destructive. And there's not anything there anymore. There wasn't anything to start with. Except now you have the light. And now you know better. Hallelujah. Amen. It won't even be fun anymore like it used to be. Because you'll keep thinking, I don't belong here. Hallelujah. I'm just letting you know tonight that he is your exceeding great reward. Amen. In the book of Ephesians, Paul used this word on three occasions. Beginning first of all in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, he starts talking about, well, you know, Paul was an interesting fellow. The writings of Paul are fascinating. I was reading one, but I was trying to find, when I read verses, I kind of like to read them in a context. You know? But at the same time, I don't want to read the whole book. But sometimes with Paul, it's hard to find a stopping place. He must have been Pentecostal. Once he got started, he couldn't stop. I was reading one of these verses, one context here. He went on 189 words before he ever found a place to put a period. He just got on a roll, brother, and he couldn't stop. Now, I don't know how grammatically good that is, but that's the way he wrote. He just got excited, and he just kept on writing. Or whoever was writing his pen was over there. Amen. Because he couldn't find a stopping place when he started talking about this exceeding great God that we serve. And so he got to writing and he couldn't stop. Amen. But look at in chapter number 1. Let's start here about verse number 15. Paul starts a prayer. That goes 189 words or so before he ever finds a place to take a breath. Amen. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then he starts this prayer. He says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The first thing he says I want you to have is I want you to have a greater understanding, and I want you to have a greater revelation of this God that you serve. And that prayer is still active tonight. It ought to be your prayer every day that you pray. Jesus, I want to know you better today. I want to know more about you than I knew yesterday. I promise you'll never delve the depths of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You'll never know there all there is to know about him. Once you finish with kindergarten, you'll graduate to first grade. Amen. But you'll never get a doctorate. Amen. It's an ongoing university of knowledge in Jesus Christ, because he is exceeding great. Hallelujah. About the time you get a few things figured out here on the earth, then he starts on heavenly things. Woo! Hallelujah. And the only way you're really going to get it is to get up there. That's graduation. Amen. So he said, the first I'm praying is that you will get an understanding and a knowledge and a revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for what I know about the Lord. I want to know a whole lot more, but I'm thankful that at least I know who he is. Hallelujah. I know his name. Praise God. And I know that there's just one God. I know that there's just one God. Hallelujah. And I realize that Jesus is not Jehovah Jr. Amen. I understand that the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily in Him. Hallelujah. That He is the Almighty. And if He's the Almighty, then nobody else has any might. No one else has any power. He is the exceeding great and powerful God. Amen. It's good to understand tonight who Jesus is. Hey, when you know who your God is, everything else looks small. Somebody asked a preacher, do you think my problem's too big for God? He said, if your problem's too big, then your God is too small. If you got a God that can't handle your problems, let me introduce you to mine. Hallelujah. Amen. There's never been a problem that He doesn't have a solution for. He had a solution before you ever had a problem. Oh, nobody's ever gone through what I'm going through. Read your Bible. The apostle said there's nothing new. Everybody has been through things and been through something just like. You get discouraged, you grab your Bible and you start reading the Psalms. The Psalms are songs about people that endured life. And let me tell you something about life. It's tough. It's full of surprises. Amen. It has moments of greatness, but much is just simply mundane. Somebody said the hard thing about life is it's so daily. Amen. It's so daily. You're going to get up in the morning after the service is over. You're going to go home and you're going to sleep just like you always sleep. Hopefully. Hope to God you sleep. Somebody said, I slept like a baby. I woke up screaming every hour on the clock. And that's what babies do. So it's not a good thing to sleep like a baby. That's the way babies sleep. Amen. And so you don't want to sleep like that. But you're going to get up in the morning and you're going to do the same stuff you do every week. You're going to get up, you're going to go to work, and you're going to eat break, and you're going to have a little snack, and then you're going to have lunch, and then you're going to get off, and you're going to go home, and you're going to have supper, and you're going to go back to sleep, and it's daily. Life is daily. Amen. And that's just simply the way that it is. But I'm telling you, everybody goes through the same stuff. If you talk a little bit and open up a little bit, somebody's already been through what you're going through right now. Oh, the names might be changed. And the place might be changed. But it's the same old story and the same old stuff. Amen. And God brought them through. That's what the book of Psalms is about. It's about people that God brought through. Hallelujah. Amen. Because our God is exceeding great. Paul starts telling us, he said, the first thing I'm praying is that you'll know who your God is. And the second things he said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of His calling. Everybody say, I got hope. You know what the difference is in Christians and people that are not? It's because you've got hope. You know what the difference is now and the difference was before you came to Him? Because now you have hope. Do you know what the worst thing about hell is? It's not the flames. It's not the pain. It's not the suffering. It's not the darkness. It's the fact that there's no hope. It's the fact that after a million years, there's no less time than there was when you started. There's never, ever any hope of getting out, of things changing, of things getting better, or even getting used to it. Amen. But you know what the great thing about God is? In Him, there's always hope. Amen. No matter what you go through, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult, there you have hope. Hallelujah. No matter how dark tonight, you have hope. He said, we have this hope. And Paul said, I want you to know about your hope. I want you to know about the hope of your calling. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Amen. God wants you to understand some things. God wants to share some things with you. Do you remember courtship? Some of it you've been married a while, it may be kind of hard. Go way back, courtship. Do you remember when you actually enjoyed talking to your mate? And you literally talked for hours about what? Anybody that thinks talk is cheap's never paid the phone bill of two lovers. Especially if they're long distance. Oh, but that's a small price to pay. Just to hear her voice. That's a small price to pay. Just to hear the voice of my beloved. Amen. Do you remember when you used to talk to the Lord? When you used to just talk to him and tell him? You know, one of the things that every human being wants is to be known. You want people to really know you. That's one of your greatest desires, is that people would know you. But you know what your greatest fear is? Is that people would know you. And so we learn to wear masks in life. And we learn to put on the mask that we know that people will like. We long for people to really know us, but we don't want them to know the things that we think would disappoint them. And so we play the game. Amen. But let me tell you something. God already knows you. Amen. He really knows you. The songwriter said, the one that knows me best loves me most. And that's the love of God. The fact that he knows me better than I know myself. He not only knows what I do, but he knows why I did it. He knows my motives. He knows my todays and my tomorrows and my yesterdays. He knows my rising up and he knows my falling down. He knows everything there is to know, and yet he still loves me. And he still loves you. So he said, I want you to know him. Praise God. I want you to know what his hope. I want you to know the riches of his glory. And then finally he said, and what is the exceeding, everybody say exceeding, greatness of his power. Amen. Now let me just tell you what men really like. Men like women to think they're strong. Go ahead, brother. Smile. you want at least at some point in time. She may know better by now, but at one time in your life, boy, whenever she needed the pickle jar open, I'll open that little buddy. Amen. And you may bust a gut, but you'll get it open. Because you're going to see that I'm strong. Amen. And so you want to be strong. Yeah, you do. Amen. Now you know, you make a muscle and it kind of falls off and goes down. Things got to change a little bit as you get a little older. Amen. That's just kind of what happens. It's called atrophy. Amen. And so if you don't use them, you lose them. But hopefully by then she's learned to love you, not for just your muscles, but hopefully some other things. Praise God. Amen. And so, but we want to be, we, and God's like that. God wants us to know His strength. God wants you to know that He's powerful. God glories in His strength. God glories in His power. But what good is power and in strength if He can't show it to anybody? And so He likes to show you. And so when you get yourself into situations and you don't know what to do, God is just standing there saying, let me show you what I can do. Let me show you my power. Let me show you my glory. Let me show you my strength. I'll be honest, God likes to show off every now and then. Yes, He does. Praise God, He wants to show you His strength. His beloved, He likes to show you how strong He is, how powerful He is, how exceeding powerful He is. Amen. And so sometimes you'll get yourself in situations and He's standing there saying, if you'll just let me, I'll show you what I can do. Don't just listen to what people can do. Let me show you what I can do. Because I'm exceedingly powerful. Amen. To a Red Sea with an army behind them. And He said, now let me show you what I can do. He said, stand still and see the glory. Let me show you my power. And he caused water to rise. And with the blast of His hot breath, He dried up the way before them. Let me show you what I can do. When they came to Jericho, He said, you march around the wall 7 times and you begin to shout the victory. He said, and I'll knock the walls down. Amen. I'm telling you, you've got a God that can stop the sun in the sky. Amen. You've got a God that can bring the dead back to life again. You've got a God that can heal any disease. You've got a God that can open a way where there seemeth not to be a way. He said, I want to show you my exceeding great power. Why do we not see more of the power of God? Probably because we're seeking the wrong sources. Perhaps because we're not spending enough time with Him. Maybe we're going to the wrong place for the answer. What would happen if we would seek Him more? If we would glory more in Him. We need more people like that little servant girl. That she was a captive in the house of a Syrian captain. She was a slave. And when she found out that her master and it had a bad case of leprosy, she said, oh, I wish you were in Israel. I wish you could talk to our prophet over there. He's a man that knows God. He could do something about your situation. We need more people like that. We need more people that know God. We need more people that know what God can do. Amen. We need more people that believe in the power, the exceeding great power of God. Amen. I love the story of the little boy walking with his father, and they came. You know how little boys are. They're just little men. So he runs ahead and he finds this rock in the way and he's going to move it. So he stoops down, he grabs a hold of that big rock, and he starts straining. His little muscles are quivering. His lips are quivering. His face is turning red. And to his shame, he can't move it. And his dad stops and he said, son, he said, are you using all the strength you have? The little boy said, oh, daddy, I'm giving it all I got. He said, no, you're not. He said, you're not using all the strength you have because you have not asked me to help you. You have not asked me to help you. You see, he had greater strength than his own standing right beside him, waiting to help him move the stone, but he was struggling alone. Hey, does that sound like somebody tonight? You're struggling, giving it all you got, and nothing's happening. And your lover, your heavenly lover, is saying, let me show you what I can do. Let me expose my power. Let me show you my glory. I'll make a way. I'll open the door. I'll do what no other power can do, because I'm an exceeding great God. We need to remember who we're serving tonight. He's an exceeding great God. He has exceeding great power. And there's no power like the power of the Lord. Amen. And then chapter 2, verse 4 through verse 7 talks about his exceeding riches of his grace. Amen. You talk about rich. Your God is rich. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Heard about a guy one time. I don't know if it worked or not. But a guy went to Six Flags and he was standing in line. Got tired of standing in line. He just marched right up to the front. He was a apostolic. And he said, my daddy owns this place. Now he was right about his daddy owning that place, but I don't know if it did him any good or not. Amen. I don't know if his daddy paid his fare or not. Probably not. Amen. But I'm telling you, hey, your daddy owns this thing. I said, your daddy owns this thing. The psalmist said that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he owns the hills. And he owns the grass on the hills. And he owns the gold that's in the hills. And he owns the oil that's under the hill. Amen. It all belongs to him. He's got it all. That's why he said, don't you worry. He said, the sparrows of the air, they don't worry. He said, they don't toil, they don't spin. But Solomon, all of his array, he said, they're not clothed like the lilies of the field. Have you ever seen a flower worrying? Have you ever heard an apple tree groan? Amen. No, sir. They just know it's going to be all right. Because there's a heavenly Father that's going to take care of them. And he said, how much more? How much more? Of how much greater worth are you than a flower that'll be dead in the morning? Of how much greater worth are you than a sparrow that will fall and nobody will ever know that he existed? He said, how much greater? Your Father's going to take care of you. Let me tell you, your daddy's rich. Amen. Now let me just say this. He's not a sugar daddy or a smother mother. Amen. And he's not going to spoil you rotten. God cannot give some of us very much because we can't handle very much. Some of us are not doing very well with what we have now. So perhaps if we would start doing better with what we have now, he could give us more. Boy, don't teach me that, Brother Grissom. God's not interested in giving you enough to destroy you. Amen. What was it Solomon prayed? He said, the Lord, I want enough so that I'm not tempted to steal, but I don't want so much that I'll forget about you. And one of the most hypnotic things in the world, one of the most addictive things in the world, are riches. Far more people can handle poverty and trouble than can handle prosperity. So you got to be careful. And your God is wise. Your God is wise. Amen. He's going to give you what you can handle. He can give you what you can take care of. Amen. But let me tell you something. You never have to be in need because he knows what you need. And he's going to take care of it. That's why he said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he said, all of these things, houses and lands, things that you need, he said, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. And he said, all these things are going to be added to you if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So if you don't have what you think you need, maybe you're seeking the wrong thing. If you'll stop seeking the stuff and start seeking him, then he can give you the stuff. But if when you're seeking the stuff, you got stuff in your heart and not him. Amen. Now, why don't we keep going back to that? I don't know, but we just do. Praise God. Maybe it's just for my benefit. But if it is, bear with me. One of these days, God's going to get it out. And I'll get a new sermon. Amen. But until then, when I preach it, just examine your heart. See if you might be afflicted just a little bit too. Amen. Praise God. So he wants us to know the exceeding riches of his grace. Amen. God manifests his grace, first of all, in mercy. We needed mercy. Oh, we needed mercy. We needed mercy. We needed mercy. Amen. We're like the lady that got her picture taken, and when she went to see the proof, she got all mad at the photographer. She said, these pictures, these proofs do not do me justice. He said, woman, you don't need justice. You need mercy. He lost a customer, but he told the truth. Some of us don't need justice. We need mercy. We need mercy. Amen. God gave us mercy. Amen. He's a merciful. He's rich in mercy. I heard about a fellow one time fasted 40 days that God would send judgment and punishment upon a man he was mad at. You talk about a perfect waste of 40 days of good eating. Because God's merciful. I remember Jonah got mad at God. You know one of the reasons that he went to Tarshish to start with instead of Nineveh? He said, I'll get down there and I'll preach to those people and they'll repent and you'll have mercy. He didn't want God to have mercy. He wanted God to fry him. He got mad. He said, I know you'll do that. Sure enough, he got down there, he preached, they repented, and God had mercy. He said, I knew you were going to do that, God. I just knew it. Well, if you know God, you know he will. If you give God the option, he'll always have mercy. Thank God for mercy. Amen. He has exceeding riches in mercy. And the Bible talks about his great love wherewith he loved us. I love the sound of that. His great love wherewith he loved us. While we were yet dead in trespasses and sins, he quickened us. He made us alive. He raised us up, the Bible said, to sit in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Oh, what a transfer. What riches tonight. I'm talking about a God that is exceeding rich in grace. Amen. That's our God. And then I'm going to stop tonight going back to that third chapter. The Bible said that now unto him that is exceeding, he's able. God is able. He's not just able. But he's able to do exceeding abundantly. Not just abundantly. Not just above. Not just all. You get it? He's got four superlatives there. Amen. And he could have put more. But why? We can't even get our head around that. To him that is able to do exceeding. Now abundance big. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now I've been around folks and I'm a human being myself. And we can ask for a lot. Amen. If you don't believe that, you just hang around this church and answer the phone every time it rings.
Yeah.
About 90% of the phone calls are people asking for the one thing we don't have. If they were asking for mercy, oh, we got lots of that. If they were asking for salvation, oh, I could introduce them to a Savior.
Yeah.
Amen. But most of them, as soon as they find out we don't have any money, they get upset and hang up. Because they don't want anything else, they just want the money. But when they find out we don't have any of that, they're not interested in anything else that we have. Amen. And unfortunately, a lot of people like that with God. They just want one little particular thing from God, and once they've got that, that's enough. But He wants us to know Him. He wants us to see His greatness. Amen. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Oh, some of us have really active imaginations. Really active imaginations. Anybody got a real active imagination? Then you can think some pretty big stuff. Amen. Amen. The mother put her little boy in the corner. She caught him lying. He was looking out the window and he said, "Mama, Mama," he said, "come quick." He said, "there's a lion in the yard." She said, "Tommy, you know there's not a lion in the yard. You're lying." She said, "you go sit in the corner to ask Jesus to forgive you." He sat there for a few minutes. She said, "now." She said, "did you ask Jesus to forgive you?" He said, "yes, I did." She said, "what did he say?" Well, he said, "he thought it was a lion there too for a minute." That's an active imagination. Some of us, we've got active imaginations tonight. But He can exceed that. He can exceed that. Amen. He thinks in terms and in realms that are so far above our capabilities. Now my favorite part of this whole verse is this last part right here. Unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now get this. According to the power that worketh in us. Now let me tell you where God is here tonight. He's not up there. He's in here. When you pray, don't pray to God way off up there. Pray to God in here. Because He is in us. He said, "for the kingdom of God is within us." This is where He is. He's not way off in a distant heaven waiting someday for us to get there. But He's in us. And not only is He in us, but He is working in us. You feel that. Anybody ever feel the power working in you? You ever walked by somebody that was sick and you just wanted to stop and pray for them? You know what that is that's working in you? It's the power of God saying, "let me show you what I can do." Have you ever walked past somebody and the Holy Ghost just said, "I want you to talk to them"? You know what that is? That's the Holy Ghost said, "let me show you. Let me show you what I can do." Amen. He's working in us tonight. Let me tell you how the church is going to have revival. By the power that's working in us. Amen. When we get that thing so stirred up. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. And he said, "stir up the gifts. Stir up the gifts that are in you." Part of preaching is to try to get people stirred up. Sometimes we do, amen, in the wrong way. Amen. But what we're trying to do tonight is to get that power working in this house. Amen. And if you can walk out of this house tonight and you can witness to somebody and bring them to Jesus Christ, or you can pray for somebody and they'll experience a healing in their body. Amen. Hallelujah. There's something working here tonight. And God wants us to work. He said, for these works shall you do, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. Jesus wants to exceed himself. Amen. You see, as long as Jesus Christ was in a physical body, he was limited to one place and one time. All the works that he did. All the works that he did. John said, if all the things that he did should be written, he said the world could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, it didn't stop with Jesus Christ. It spilled over into the apostles. And you read the Acts of the Apostles. Could I just say tonight that the Acts of the Apostles is not a very good title for that book? Because we only have that few Acts of Peter and a few Acts of Paul and a few Acts of a few of the Apostles. We don't have the story of the rest of them. That just barely scratches the surface. One writer said that we only have 27 days recorded of the life of Jesus Christ. If he did all of that in 27 days, what did he do with the other 33 years? We don't know if he did the things that are recorded in this book by the pen of Luke, talking about the Acts of Peter and Paul. How much more did he do with the rest of the apostles? We don't even have their story. And you know what? He wants it to continue today. The Bible said, world without end. He's saying, don't stop here. Don't stop now. What he did back then, he's still doing today. And he wants to do more because he's an exceeding great God. He's an exceeding great God. He's an exceeding great God. In my lifetime, I remember when it was, well, you talk about when 100 people got the Holy Ghost at a meeting, that was exceeding great. And then we started hearing about meetings where 200 got the Holy Ghost and 300 got the Holy Ghost. I remember the first time I ever heard of a crusade that they had over in the Philippines, and more than 3,000 people got the Holy Ghost. Amen. In one meeting, 3,000. That exceeded the day of Pentecost. That was greater than the day of Pentecost. Amen. And then Ethiopia came along, and Brother Billy Cole in another dimension of faith would go, and there would be 1 million people there, and more than 100,000, 150,000 people would receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in one day. And some people say, I don't believe that even happened. Your God's too little. Your God's too small. Amen. Praise God. You need to get a bigger God if you can't believe that. But what I know about God is this. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God will fill any with the Holy Ghost that come to him seeking and hungry and believing. Amen. I'm talking about days when we have exceeded. We have exceeded. Amen. Praise God. The last meeting I was in Columbia, we probably had about 15,000 people in the auditorium. And you talk about the Holy Ghost moving. Those people came in there worshiping and praising God with all of their heart. The Holy Ghost started moving, and we weren't even praying for people yet. Before we ever opened up and had prayer requests and started praying, people started taking their crutches and lifting them up and passing them up to the platform, saying, we don't need these anymore. And here came a wheelchair from the back of the building. Somebody got up out of a wheelchair and they lifted it up and they started passing up the platform, saying, we don't need this anymore. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost just started moving. People started getting healings. Amen. We baptized one lady that was deaf and she started hearing and she'd never been able to hear. Amen. Cataracts started falling off of people's eyes that needed surgery. And the Holy Ghost just began to move. And it wasn't some man breathing on people and laying hands on people and calling people out, but it was the Holy Ghost just simply moving and saying to the congregation, let me show you what I can do. Amen. About 700 plus people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in that service that night. And we couldn't even get to them. Some were in the altar, some were way up in the bleachers. I mean, they were all over that place getting the Holy Ghost. Let me just throw in a word here. You need to reserve some time the first week in October to go to the General Conference in Houston, Texas. It's going to be in Houston. It's not very far, and you need to start saving some money right now. Amen. Now, your pastor never tells you to miss a service, but I'm going to excuse you if you'll be in service in Houston at the General Conference. I'll even excuse you on Sunday. Because Sunday night, we're going to have a crusade. And we're believing God that more than 1,000 people are going to receive the Holy Ghost in that one service. And I've been in services and watched it happen. And I've been in services when they can't even count them that fast. The Holy Ghost is falling. God's doing one. I'm telling you, folks, we are living in exceeding days of greatness. Amen. And it's time for us to get on board. Hallelujah. The best is yet to come. Amen. We're serving the same God. He hasn't changed. Anybody believe God can do the miraculous? Anybody believe God can heal? Anybody believe God can save? Amen. Anybody believe that there's somebody in Athens that needs saving? Anybody believe we can get them here? And if we get them here, God will fill them with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something even better than that. You know what I'd like to see? I would like to see you go out and get you some home Bible studies. Oh, but Brother Grissom, I don't have a theology degree. You don't need one. Amen. You just need to get you a Bible study. You already know what it takes to be saved. And you just teach them that Bible study. And when the Holy Ghost moves into the room, you just say, "Would you like to pray?" And they said, "Yes." Don't bring them to church. If they got a coffee table or a couch, just start praying right there and expect God to fill them with the Holy Ghost in their house. And when God gets them full of the Holy Ghost, then you call me. I don't care what time it is. If they want to be baptized, I'll meet you up here and we'll baptize them. I'd like to have revival around here. And that's the kind of revival that I would prefer to have. Amen. On recess and some of these schools, I'd like for some kids to get the Holy Ghost. It's happened. Amen. I know some young people, they got to witness at break time, and they'd go out recess and they'd go off somewhere in the corner and they'd start praying the Holy Ghost would fall in the school. You talk about stirring folks up. They don't know what to do about that. Hallelujah. There was a preacher walking down a busy street in New York City one day, and there was a man laying on the sidewalk talking out of his head. People all around saying, "Call an ambulance, call an ambulance." He stopped, listened to him for a few minutes, looked at him. The man had just received the Holy Ghost, fell out in the Spirit right there in the street. He said, "You don't need to call an ambulance." He said, "This man's doing better than all of us." Amen. I know there's a group of young men in New York that like to get on the subway because they've got a captive audience until the door opens. And they witness about the Lord until the doors open. And they've won people to God like that. Amen. What would happen if this church would get bold? What would happen if we would start taking this gospel outside these walls? Amen. And just see what God would. Anybody believe God's in the saving business? And the Holy Ghost filling business? In the baptizing business? In the healing business? In the delivering business? I still believe that. I still believe God can deliver anybody from anything. I believe God can heal, save people from every addiction. Amen. I believe people can lay down alcohol and cigarettes and drugs and sexual addictions and any kind of addiction. God can cause people to lay it down. Amen. God can heal their mind. God can heal their heart. God can heal their body. God can deliver. Amen. We're in a world that needs help today. And God is not deaf. And God's hand is not short. He said, I can hear and I can still say. I'm telling you tonight, we've got an exceedingly great God. Let's stand together. Amen. We need to remember the kind of God we're serving. He's not. Somebody said God's dead. Let me tell you, he's never even been sick. He's never even felt puny. Amen. Now the guy that said God's dead is dead. Amen. But God's alive and he's still living. Praise God. I know, said Brother Grisham, my it's, you know, they don't want God in school anymore. So what? You know, I'm a preacher, I can't take him there because they'll sue me. But young people, you can take him there. They can't stop you. Amen. I know some folks that wrote some papers about God and they didn't get the good grade they might have got, but you know what? They witnessed and they testified. I got to witness to my whole high school English class. We were reading To Kill a Mockingbird. If you remember To Kill a Mockingbird, they were making fun of people in there that talked in tongues. And my teacher wanted to make fun of people talking in tongues. So she asked the question snidely. She said, anybody here talk in tongues? I said, I do. And I told them about it. Hallelujah. I let them know about it. Hey, I'm a Pentecostal. And I'm not ashamed. Hallelujah. And I'm not ashamed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm excited to be a Pentecostal today. I believe what I believe. I believe in the God that I believe in. I know what he can do. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, you take a stand for God and he'll stand with you. Amen. Let's take it outside the walls of this church. Let's get it out in this city. Amen. Let's tell it. Let's talk about it. Let's see what the Lord will do. Amen. Praise God. Anybody for revival here tonight? Anybody believe we can have a revival here that's exceeding anything we've ever seen before? Anybody, God, got a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you're able to ask or think according to the power that worketh in us? Hallelujah. Anybody want to stir something up tonight? Get something working on the inside of you? Amen. Let's come and spend a little time asking the Lord to stir us up right now. God, I'm asking you to stir up our faith here tonight. Amen. Stir up our faith here tonight, Jesus. Amen. Take us to another realm. Lift us, Lord, to a higher place. Amen. Thank you for what we know. Thank you for what we have experienced. Thank you for what you have done and the things that we have seen. But Jesus, it's time to do more. It's time to do better. Amen. God, we want to see more. It's time to see more souls in the altar. It's time to be baptizing more folks in Jesus' name. It's time to be teaching more Bible studies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.